sermon this morning, The Incredible You, coming from the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter of the second verse, third verse of the second chapter, and it reads, "Seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of anger." Notice that it says you may be hid. In other words, there are those in the church, there are those within the body of Christ that may not be hid. These are the ones who hadn't had their will broken, hadn't had the inner man to be in charge, and that they mortify the deeds of the outer man. As I was explaining earlier, I know y'all a lot of us used to watch the show The Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk. It was about this man, David Banner, and he had got exposed to some radiation, gamma radiation. He was a meek, mild man. But if tarnished, if provoked, he would become something, the chemical within him would release, and he would become something so strong, so outrageous, and the more that anger was provoked, the more it came against him, the stronger he became. I'm trying to find an illustration there, and I have some more, and I've used them. I don't want to use anything. I've exhausted. But what we had there was a man like what God wants to make us. In other words, outside characteristic of us. And I know a lot of your Bibles have gentleness, a humbleness in the book of Matthew when it says, in the Beatitudes, and instead of meekness, a lot of them use gentleness and kindness. Gentleness and kindness are outward aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. They are part of the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes gentleness, a kindness, a humility of being humble cannot be used as a synonym for meekness, of being meek, because meek is a different word, different in itself in a biblical language. The world defines meek in a way of being really portraying one as a coward. We had Bible study. We had to postpone Bible study this week, so we didn't go over the definitions of the word meek. But the world looks at meek as a person that's a pushover. A person that's coward, timid, very timid, a person that doesn't have a backbone to stand up for themselves. But that's not the biblical definition of meek. The biblical definition of meek is one who has been broken by God, one that's under control of God, one in which God has came into and has imprinted his mind upon, that person is led by God, that person is under the control of God. Now, what I'll attempt to do in this message is, it's not a sermon of contrast, but I'll do a little teaching and preaching in this one. Because the world has taught us wrong, and there's a spirit of the world, and I told you that's what we experienced during this election cycle. And since I think we're one of the last generations before the coming of the Lord, that this is going to be a more hectic time than any other time. It's going to be a time in which we're going to have to be able to identify the true worshipers of God from the false worshipers of God. They are within the church and the outside of the church. Both are. Christ said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It kind of reminds you of David. When David had to flee society, the status quo, David ran and he went to a place, Abdullah. David went to a place in which David hadn't did anything, but God had to prepare David for kingship. In that preparation of kingship, David learned meekness. David learned to be meek. God has to teach us. He has to instill that. And that's something we have to seek after. In other words, turn to God to accomplish being meek. To accomplish that. Like I say, it's an inward characteristic. It's not the outward characteristic would fit the synonyms gentleness, kindness, and humility of being humble. But actually, meekness is something deep in the inner man. That's why I said the incredible you. That portion of you that's that could be placed under stress, that could be provoked but not react to it. That part of you that the scripture was talking to it when it says, be ye angry and sin not. That you be able to overlook offenses. If you turn with me just a second to the book of 1 Corinthians, we'll go to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And let us look at this now. They use the word charity in the Old Testament, in the King James Version of these New Testament words, and your version may have love. But it says charity. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is something also. This charity, this love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. That's something that God gives to his born-again people, just like meekness. That's something that's going to be with us throughout eternity. That's part of our character in which God created. That's the essence of God, which is love. Look at the characteristics of love, and within them you'll see the characteristics of meekness. Look at that. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. You could have every gift of the Spirit. You could have every gift of the Spirit that the church has. But without love, you're still not anything because you don't have the love of God within you. You could be a winner according to this world, but not have God. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have that charity, it profit me nothing. You could make all kinds of sacrifices. And those that came to the Lord had fed the needy. They had did good works. But they were without that operation that needed to be done. They was not born again. God hadn't had that work in their lives. So a lot of people in the world do good works. A lot of people are gentle and kind. But that doesn't mean that God is in their lives. That doesn't mean that they had been broken by God. And when pressed to a point, when provoked, that evilness, that wickedness would come out. They would lash out at someone. So there's a natural meekness to some people. Some people are just cowards. Some people are just shy and timid. That doesn't mean that they are meek. That's a natural meekness. Some people are scared. They wouldn't stand up for their rights. They wouldn't confront anything. They allow you to run completely over them. That's a natural meekness. That's not from God. When Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor, all the people that had came unto David during that time, these people had been through hardship. It says, those that were afflicted, those that had problems and things, they didn't have anywhere else to turn. That's when they went to David. They was in the same shape as David. That's why when we've tried all we can try, when our burdens are upon us, when the yoke of this world is too hard for us, Christ says, come unto me, all ye of burden and heavy labor, and take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not requiring something of you that he doesn't help you do. He says, I'm meek and humbly and lowly. Those are characteristics. If you look at this past presidential election cycle, those are characteristics that the people hate. They want to be in your face. They want to shame. They want to degrade. They want to put self forward. All those are opposite of people seeking the kingdom of God. There's a spirit in this world. There's a spirit in this nation that's going about. Be not ye entangled in that. Come out from Babylon. Come out from this world. Come out from this nation's system. It's not the last. Even the world itself, even that system says that they're ready to revolt, that they're ready to have a contentious argument or fight. That's a bad spirit. That's a brewing. We in the church should be able to see those things if we in Christ. It says charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself not up. Charity is not puffed up. That's a meek person. That person has an inward characteristic of meekness. That person suffered a long time. See, that's what Jesus Christ did. He suffered. When reviled, it says he not reviled not again. In other words, when people say all manner of evil to you, when what the Beatitudes say, blessed are ye when people revile you and persecute you and say all manner of things. You're able to suffer through that because you have God helping you, giving you that ability to suffer, to go through it. But without God, there's something building up in you that wants vengeance. That's like this nation. They want vengeance. They want retaliation. If I don't get my way, if I don't win this thing, I'm ready to retaliate and tear the whole system down. There's no way that those people are Christian. Those people aren't of God. God says obey the authorities that are in power. He didn't say have a rebellion or a revolution. Not God. See, he says it's not easily provoked. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Some people with the slightest little thing, you can provoke them into doing anything. Mm-hmm. You can provoke them. You can provoke them just by saying one or two words. They're going off on a tangent and they spew out everything that's within them. And that's vileness, that corruptness that the heart shows then actually that it hadn't been converted. That's what it shows at that time. But God tells us in Zephaniah, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, all y'all that are under control and that wants to be controlled by God. See, he's talking to a people that know of God and that's trying to walk the judgment of God, trying to walk in the concepts, statutes, and precepts of God. He says, seek righteousness, seek meekness. This is something that you have to go after to attain. This something that you have to buffet your body to attain. This meekness that he's talking about. When Christ wanted to teach his disciples in the book of Matthew, that Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount is called. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom in heaven. That's poverty of spirit. That's someone that's not hyped up on their own spirit. That's someone whose spirit has been broken and they're looking unto God. I'm at the end of my rope. I can't do it anymore. I'm fully dependent on you, Lord. Whatever you do, people can't understand that. They think you're crazy or something. They think you're not in the right thing because you're not dealing or seeing things the way they are and that the burden is no longer on you. It's on God. They will treat you differently when you lay your burden down. When you lay those burdens down, they want to see you under a load. They want to see you so torn apart by circumstances and that you just in tears and just going on apart. That's not a man of God. That's a sign of lack of meekness. You can't allow circumstances to tear your world apart. You can't allow what's going on in your life, what's happening around you, to get you discombobulated, to get you all confused, to get you all torn apart. It shows that you're not securing God, that you're not trusting God. If you trust in God, no matter what the news is, I can handle this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Tell me what you want. Job, you know, I didn't like it when someone said that there's war. I said, well, what's going on? Because I don't want you to feel that you're at war. I want to feel that you're at peace. Christ give you peace. See, and that's what happens. See, we're here to reassure one another. We have to reassure one another. That's why I'm here, for the reassurances. That sometimes, as Job, see, God had prepared Job just like he prepared you. Job didn't come apart when all the people came to him. Notice that it was problem after problem come to Job. One servant says, Job, all your cattle has been destroyed. I'm the only one to escape. Right immediately after then, one of them came and said, all your herds of camels had been destroyed. It was bad news after bad news. The next thing he come, he says, Job, all of your children have been destroyed. Job, it was hitting Job. Satan was hitting Job from every... See, but we're not warring against flesh and blood enemies. We're warring against powers and principalities. They will pull out all the stops against us. The last and final thing that Satan did to Job, when he says skin for skin, a man will do anything when it comes to his flesh and blood. When it comes to his own hide, let me affect his health. That's when he gave Job canker worms and sores. His body was so wrecked. When that decision comes and they say, well, it looks like you got cancer. It looks like you got leukemia. Looks like you got heart problems. Look like you have lung infestation. Look like fluids building here. Look like you have something catastrophic in your health. Job says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That Job was strong. He didn't curse God. He resorted and says, though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I will see God. All those was just stepping stones to where Job wanted to get. That's the meekness Job had. Notice that Job didn't come apart at this. He didn't go to accusing other people. When we go to accusing other people and other things, it shows a lack of meekness in us that something hadn't died. He says, blessed are those that mourn. You know what mourning is? It's looking at the situations in the world. It's looking at the situations in ourselves and feeling deeply about it. That we feel that we can see the world coming apart and that we mourn for the world, the condition of the world. That we see things happening in our lives and what we should do in the situation we're in, that breaks laughter, that breaks humor. It's not a situation where you're crying. It's a situation where you get in more solemnity toward God. You get in a position where you can pray to God then. You get in a position where I want to hear you when you pray. I want you to pray for us then, because God has you in a submission hole then. To where you consistently talk to him. Do you talk to him more every day now, sister? It's all through the day. See, that's what he don't want us to do, is cease praying. That's part of the preparation and breaking. That's how he breaks you. To you in total communication with him. That's all in prayer and supplication. All your requests being known to God. You making them known to him, not to man. Man wants to see you saying, is anything y'all can do, Doc? Anything you can do to extend my life? But a child of God is, okay, Doc, that's your news or whatever, but I'm going home and get my prayer closet. I want to go talk to God about this. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, Lord, I know you know best. I know you ain't laying no more on me than I can bear. Because you're my burden bearer. And you will give me peace and joy. I'm not going to let anything tear me apart, because I was crucified with Christ. That's what baptism says. We've died to the old man. We've been crucified. So now the body that you're destroying is not my body. It's God's body. Right? our body is no longer our body. So we are just learning how to seek meekness. What we have to do is resist the devil. See, that was Job's problem, was the devil was coming after him. God was allowing Satan to come across the hedge that God had built up. But when he does that, the book of James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, because if you're dead to yourself, you're dead to the world, you're not seeking cures from the world. You go to the doctor, but you're seeking an answer from the Lord how to deal with the situation that you find yourself in. Because whatever God decides, that's the right thing. Sam, Eli had did wrong in his life. And God told him to talk to his sons. And Eli didn't chasten his sons or whatever. But God made a decision that he was going to take Eli's sons away. When he asked Samuel, God had talked to Samuel through the night. And Eli asked Samuel, said, what did the Lord tell you? Tell me all he said. And Samuel said that he said that he was going to take your sons away. And he told Eli all that God had said about him that was bad. And Eli said, well, whatever God says is good, and blessed be the name of the Lord. See, because whatever God determines to come about in your life, him being sovereign, now in the New Testament, as we know that all things work together for good, there must be a reason God allowed this to happen to me. Blessed be the name of God. So we glory in tribulation and affliction. Whatever come up on us, we know that God is right there in the midst of the fire. He's right there in the midst of the judgment. He's right there in the midst of the sickness with us. He says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. You know, when you're sick, you're able to comfort those around you that's crying and don't see no hope. You can give them some of your hope and says, look, cheer up. It's not that bad. That's bad. If, you know, if I'm supposed to be preaching a funeral or something and I break down and I can't deliver the eulogy. It's bad if you go in to see a doctor and he's supposed to be healing you and he cried, oh man, it's so bad. This wound is so bad. He can't take the wound. He can't take looking at the wound, the condition you're in. We're supposed to be in charge of all situations. God says through Christ, I can do all things. That's meekness, one that's completely in control and in charge no matter what's happening in their lives. No matter what's happening in their lives. See, Moses, it says, was Moses the meekest man in all the world? Does the Bible tell us that? Moses was the meekest man upon the earth. But was Moses a weakling? Moses was a coward? No. Because Moses didn't know God at one time. And he rose up and he slew the Egyptian that he felt that was harming another Hebrew. And Moses rose up and killed that man. That's not a being a meek man. But what it is power that's not under control. He had the power to destroy this man, but it wasn't under control. For that incident, Moses had to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert learning about God. Learning meekness. That's when he developed meekness. That's when he came back. We've seen the zeal of God in Moses act when he came down with the Ten Commandments in his hand, with those tablets in his hand, and the people were committing sacrilege. They had rose up to play and everything. He threw those tablets down and broke the tablets. He crushed the tablets, ground them to powder, and made the people drink them. He, for the zeal of God, see, that's not meekness, that was power under control, but you had crossed God. In other words, your anger came about, this came about because you were zealous for the things of the Lord. But Moses made them drink that water that he had broke those tablets to dust in, he had poured it up on. See, Jesus did the same thing. He was meek, mild, and he was the meekest of all men. But when Jesus came into the temple and the people committing sacrilege, Didn't Jesus turn over the tables and run them out of there? Yes. See, he was under control, but it was in a fit. It was in a time that he was doing the things of God. It was a pursuit, power under control, under God's control. The time when Phinehas went in and killed the Israelite and the Moabite woman that were having intimate relationship inside the tents. It was sexual immorality. He went in and destroyed them. That wasn't meekness. That was a zeal for God. So zeal and meekness is interlinked when it's in the service of God. But what we have to see is that we have to submit ourselves to God, and that death to self is a prerequisite to receiving meekness. That we have to be dead to self. In other words, we're not looking for a reputation of our own, of ourselves. Jesus didn't seek a reputation for himself. You see, what happens then, all meekness goes away because then ego gets in the way. Meekness is not one that seeks a reputation for himself or for itself. It has to die for itself. Because James says in the book of James, the fourth chapter, the first through the sixth verse says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. So there's no use fighting or having a war or whatever with anyone, he says. You not asking the right way, the reason you don't have what you receive. The reason that you're trying to get this, or you were willing to fight for it. If you fighting for a desired position, if you was in competition with someone and didn't win, well, maybe God didn't want it for me to win, and that's the way it should be. I shouldn't be a sore loser and just kick the game away and throw everything and break the system. Should I? See, that's a bad disposition. That's a bad attitude. That's a bad way to be. That's a sign of, he says, you adulteresses and adulterers. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whosoever will be a friend of the world as an enemy of God. But do ye think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But God gives greater grace. In other words, that human spirit, that outer you, that man that I'm saying you need to crucify, the inner you, if you're born again, that's why I said, unless you're born again, you cannot do this. This is a supernatural act. This incredible you has to be provoked. It has to be provoked. In other words, that guilt has to be stirred up within you to get in, because it has to conquer the outer man. It has to be stronger than the outer man. You have to mortify the deeds of the body. In other words, you have to kill that old man. He has to die. So those desires, those things that you lust after, has to be purged out of you. That's a permanent, that's an eternal thing that has to be done. That has to be swept and cleansed away, just like giving you love that lasts forever. Love lasts forever. It's not easily provoked. Well, when you become meek, when you become broken of God, that's a permanent position. That's eternality. That means nobody later on can provoke you to kill anyone. No one can provoke you to anger. You're not going to lust it to envy. That spirit that lusted to envy will be crucified. That old spirit, the old man, he's put away. You're crucifying him because that spirit desires and lust. So God has to break. He has to destroy that man. The incredible you has to break through. So now, by the word of God, I'm going to tell you, everything's by the word. You have to be hid in Christ. we know that we can ask God anything, anything that we ask God according to Christ's word, he'll give to us. Now, we have to know God's word that we may not have it in this life, but God had given it to us. And we know we have the desires of the request that we ask of him because we keep his commandments. So that means you had peace and satisfaction because you've drawn nigh to God and you've prayed to God for the situation. And though it don't look like it externally that you're getting what you had asked for, you know it's being done. Abraham didn't see the promise in this life. Abraham died looking for those promises. But he knew that God would bring it to pass. That's just like Job. He said, I know that one day I'll see God face to face. I'll see him in my flesh. So that means we don't stop serving God. And we don't stop doing that God had asked us to do. That's incredible to the world. They can't believe that. That we don't give up on God. That we have faith until the end. All the way through, we can't stop having faith and start mourning and feeling sorrow for ourselves. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. So just because you tell me something tragic, that doesn't instill fear in me. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. I'm able to face anything life throws at me. Whatever you have to say, God's going to strip. If I have to go through the fire, God's going to be right in the fire with me. Right there with me. Don't let the world get you trapped in their ideology. You're incredibly, you're awesomely, you're wonderfully made. God had done that for his sons. And nothing on this world should be able to deter you from doing God's will. From walking his way. He was going to destroy his son's own body. Jesus knew that. When he went to Gethsemane, he was in agony and he was praying to God. And he says, if there's any other way, he says, but nevertheless, thy will be done. He had to face the cross the way God, he had to die. Well, I was scared to die. But without death, we can't see God. We have to die. We have to die to self. So what is this that the world is trying to do to you? You're not meek and mild. You keep defending yourself. You like Peter. Peter always had something to say. Peter always had a different way around. He tried to get Jesus to go around the cross. He tried to get Jesus to fight. He says, Lord, that be not unto you. When he said, I was going to have to go to Jerusalem and die for the sins of the world. Peter said, that ain't going to have to be. We're going to fight this thing. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't see or understand the things of God. See, those in the world that want to fight, God says, my servants wouldn't fight because they know his kingdom is not of this world. When you get somebody that's telling you to rebel and fight, you be wary of that person. You be wary of that spirit. Why defend yourself? When he was led to the hall and he was before Pontius Pilate, it says he opened out a mouth or uttered a word to defend himself. As a lamb dumb to his shearers, he was led to his crucifixion without saying a mumbling word. He took it. He took it proudly. That's why we have pride in it, that he was willing to do God's work. David had to be broken by God. You remember when David was on the run from his son Absalom? He was an older man then. He was going across the brook. He was running barefoot. He was running from his son. But David had learned. David had received meekness from God. When Abishai was right next to David, Shimei started cursing David and calling him all kinds of names. But what did David say? David said, leave him alone. Abishai said, well, can I go take that dead dog's head off? He shouldn't curse the king. David said, well, maybe God had bid him to curse me.
whatever's going on in this world, and I tell you that God, if you know God, we know that God's sovereign and that He's in control, that whatever's happening to me, God's allowing that to happen. And He's allowing it to build character in me, that He's doing it for a reason. And that I know that God's looking out for my betterment, whatever's happening to me. He's my Father. He's not going to do anything to me that He ain't going to see through. So I have that confidence in God. That's what makes me meek. I don't have to rebel against you. I don't have to argue with you. Jesus wasn't argumentative. A servant of God shouldn't strive. He shouldn't argue with people. When you see people going around arguing, I don't have to be right all the time. Well, if you think you're right, okay, why don't I have to argue with you over that? One of us know and one of us don't know. Your spouse will get mad at you if you're talking. She says, well, that's just my opinion. Well, you can have your opinion, but I'm not going to argue with you. Oh, but we're not arguing, we're just discussing opinion. No, we ain't discussing anything. I'm not going to say anything else. If you want it that way, that's the way it is. But that doesn't mean it's so. Sooner or later, you see what's right, that you didn't know what you was talking about. Yes. Don't argue with your spouse. When you know you're right, why argue with somebody? Oh, it's just his opinion. Anybody care about your opinions? I'm doing what God told me to do. He didn't care about Peter's opinion. He said his heart like flint. He was destined to go to Jerusalem. His brothers and sisters tried to tell him what to do. You don't have no need of no man to teach you. The Spirit teach you. As the sister said, we want to be led and guided by the Spirit of God. We need to get so close to God that the prompting of the Spirit leads us. We're in a bad shape when our children have to start leading us about. We're in a bad shape when we start listening to our friends or somebody else to lead us about. We should be those that are sons of God and led by the Spirit of God. We need to get in contact with God, because that other person may not be as good as in contact with God as you are, and here you listen at them. God had told Abraham what to do. He had told Adam what to do. But they listened to their wives. That's what got them off the tracks. I'm not saying that we don't listen or take in consideration what a person has to say, but we shouldn't be so far from God that God doesn't give us the correct answer. Sure, I value my wife's opinion. Sure, I value my children's opinion. But also value God's opinion above all those. And Peter says we ought to obey God than man. So they could be wrong. That's when it gets to say you have to hate mother, father, sister, or brother. Because you know a lot of people get mad because you don't take their advice. That you don't take their opinion. That they telling you something and you're not letting it tear you apart. Well, you think I'm joking. No, I don't think you're joking, but it ain't bothering me. I keep telling people about this election. This is a very serious deal that's coming up on the earth. See, we don't take things. We're not mourning. That's where we're missing the blessing. We're not taking it serious. We too entangle with the world, with the things of the world. We're defending ourselves. Listen at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says, the 4th chapter, the 12th through the 13th verse, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until this day. So we have to remain meek and humble. In other words, under the strength and control of God, no matter what people are saying around us. No matter what people are saying to us, no matter what people are saying about us. But the only way you can do that is through the power of God. Now, like I said, you might have a natural meekness about yourself. You might be a coward and not stand up for yourself. You might be just scared of confrontation and the reason you don't say nothing or do anything. See, but that's a little bit differently, because you have vengeance in your mind. You still have human thoughts and spirits running through your mind, and it could give you any kind of sickness, any kind of thing, because those kind of things really hurt you. They really stress you. They really make you feel rejected or whatever. See, but if you're under God, all those things that people are doing to you, You take them to God in prayer, knowing that God can repay, God's going to redress those issues that are being done unto you. When done on the cross, he says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they're doing. They were hanging him on the cross. They were crucifying him. He says, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they're doing. So what did he do? He forgave their sins. He remitted that back unto them. Now, that's the perfect example for us. So we have to be forgiving. We have to forgive people of what they're doing to us if God is to forgive us. We have to have a forgiving spirit. But then, now when God's dealing with the world, when God's dealing with the flesh, people that brought things upon you or did things to you, that's Moab. That's the sign of the flesh, Moab. He talks about the Moabites. He talks about Moab in later on in there. Let me not take this out of order. But that's the flesh that come up against you. There are those that are coming up against you and doing things. We put that in God's hand to handle and control that, that those coming up against us. But let us read, keep on being meek and mild. Because Peter had to learn. You know, if you read the writings of Peter and you see that you don't have much out of Peter in the New Testament. Not that Peter didn't do much, but Peter had became meek. He was one of the meekest of all the apostles because Jesus had broken him. You can remember when he says, Jesus, Peter, do you love me? He says, feed my sheep. 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 21st verse. Through the 25th verse, it says, for even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So he suffered, we shall suffer if we follow in the steps of Christ. If we learning of him, if we trying to be that meek person. You remember Zephaniah says, seek ye meekness now. This is the way to be, to meekness is to be hid in Christ. Allow him to bear those burdens. We have to learn of Christ. We have to learn of Christ. And we have to take that yoke upon us. We can't be unequally yoked. We have to be yoked up with Christ. He's going to bear the burdens. He's going to pull the load. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So he didn't retaliate. He didn't talk against people. He says, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightly. See, a lot of people nowadays, I'm going to get you back, and they threaten people. Now, there's a lot of threats being made during this election cycle, which is really repulsive. What's going on here. But we can see why God loved the world because I can see a lot of people that may not be religious but that are of the world that doesn't like evil or that which is wicked. That's why it says perhaps you may be saved. Because there are some people fighting this fight but they are not religious or believers. There's no way for you though. You understand what I'm saying? They have to fight it the right way. They have to be here in Christ for them to be saved. They still have to seek the Lord. Even though you're destroying the evil, you have to be in the Lord yourself. He says, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. You remember I told you that word seek means return or repentance. In other words, we've come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've found Christ. That seeking brought us into a proper relationship with Christ. We start to understanding the suffering, the things that come into our lives now. There's blessing in that. As I told you on the Sermon on the Mount, all those things that people are doing to us, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now notice that it has to be falsely. It's not true what they're saying.
that this is not, in other words, that you're not doing actually what people accuse you of. These are rumors. They are vicious things that are meant to slander or tear you down. I was looking at Lawrence O'Donnell last night on The Last Word. That was some words that one of the presidential contenders said about Michelle Obama. He had taken it out of context, and he was saying it against Hillary Clinton. But when Lawrence O'Donnell played back the whole text of what Michelle Obama said, it was Michelle Obama saying how her and Barack managed to keep their children, their work schedule, that he's off during the day doing something, or that she's off during the day. But no matter how they manage the schedule, she's there at night to tuck her children in, to be with her daughters at nighttime. And she's been praised for the way that they rear their family. Her mother is, she's a meek woman. You haven't heard much about her mother, but her mother lives in the White House helping raise their daughters. So he took that out of context and twisted it and says, Michelle Obama was saying this about Hillary Clinton. That's why I say, you have to go back. And when he was saying this, my wife was listening, and I said, well, hold on, let's just wait and see. And it wasn't on Lawrence O'Donnell when we heard that. What he said was on another news program, and I said, I'm not going to comment on it because I don't remember anything about it. I don't even know about it. Stop commenting on something that you don't know the whole story. Don't be defensive against someone just because you're against someone. So later that night, it so happened that same night, Lawrence O'Donnell brought this illustration out as to what actually was said, who said what, in their own voices with the actual tape of what was said. He had taken it out and misconstrued it. In other words, he had said something falsely against Michelle Obama because she had been out campaigning against him. But actually, she had never called his name. She never calls his name. She had, in none of her speeches, she ever uses his name. So, blessed are ye. Blessed are ye when people misconstrue your words and misconstrue what you have said or done. He says, for my sake, rejoicing and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. So, the truth is always for the sake of Christ. We have to follow and pursue after the truth and establish what that is right. Meekness, and there's a feminist movement, and I'm not just on the women here, but the feminist movement has it to where meekness is not coming about in a lot of the wives' lives now. That happening, that gets a family out of kelter. And that goes to the part about for Christ's sake, because the Obamas really believe in their family. And if your wife really believes in her family, she wouldn't tear the home apart. Me and my daughter was talking about that the other week, that it's a foolish woman that tears her own home apart with her own hand. And that's happening with the feminist movement now. The women are rising up saying and doing things which they shouldn't be. It says in the book of Ephesians, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Notice there it says, submit yourself to your own husband. Now, that means a woman don't have to be submitted to you. She's not your wife. You can't go around in charge of somebody else's wife or somebody else's daughter. It says the wife put herself in submission to her own husband. Submission is something that you give someone else power, authority over you. That's why it says we have to submit ourselves to God. We give God power and authority over our lives that we do this unto him. That's like we give the wife, she's no lesser person than the man. The woman is no lesser person than the man. But God tells her to submit unto her husband. So he has rule and authority in the home, and his decision should be the final decision because he's to be held in charge of that. That's why God asked Adam, what have you done?
because Adam was responsible. Don't go blaming your wife and say, well, my wife said, that's a mighty poor man when he blames his wife for something that has happened. You allow that to happen. You can't blame your wife. If you're in a home and something go wrong with the finances, something go wrong with anything in that, you at the bottom of that. It's your fault. You can't blame the woman. Let's get that straight. Meekness is not a husband that's weak and allows his wife to, but meekness is a husband that, I have a plaque at the house. I've told y'all about that plaque at the house, and I don't know where that plaque is now. It's somewhere since we moved and cleaned up. But it says the opinions, something about my wife, though he tolerated on occasion. You know, the home is ran by the wife. A lot of things my wife say, you didn't forget what was on the note or whatever. I'm going to get it after this one. It says that we be subject to one another. Did you know I have to come and put myself under submission to my wife? I have to subject myself to my wife. If she said we're going to eat at a certain time, do you know I have to try my best and have to be there at a certain time? If she says we need this for the home or whatever, I need to submit myself to get it for the home or whatever so that she can run the home properly. See, we have to submit ourselves. We have to learn to submit ourselves to one another. The members in the church have to learn to submit themselves to the pastors and the elders of the church. That's meekness. In other words, you give someone else authority and power over you. You don't rebel against that authority. That's what Jesus did. He submitted himself unto God. Though being equal with God, he thought it not robbery to be found in the form of a man. So he made himself a man, even though he is God. He is God. That's Jesus is God. But he made himself a man. He was subject to God. He was the one that was sent. The Father sent him here. So what he had to do, he subjected himself to do the will of the Father, even unto death. Even unto death. We have to learn these things. Your wife is a help meet for you. Now, she has to be a godly. Now, a lot of people go back and quote the Bible and say, what's in Scripture? Scripture is written to those that obey Scripture. Scripture is not to the natural mind in man. Because if all these things are not in conjunction, are not right, it throws the other one off. It says, the women are to have a meek spirit. A meek and a mild spirit, as Sarah had. You remember Sarah? It says, likewise ye met you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, 1 Peter 3:1. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves by being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and not afraid with amazement. He says, you're Sarah's daughters, as long as you do well. Sarah was submitted unto Abraham. You know, Sarah was so committed unto Abraham, twice Abraham told her to say she wasn't his wife, and she was going to be willing to stay with Pharaoh Abimelech. That's twice Abraham did this with Sarah, to deny that she was his wife, and she went along with it. See, the problem is that today's woman want to be her own woman. They go get their hair done, they get all dressed up and all dutied up. That's what they call being a woman and outspoken. But he says with a meek and quiet spirit. Paul says, a woman shouldn't talk or speak in the church. In other words, she's not to be a brawler or usurp authority in the church out all loud and repugnacious all over the place. That's not being a ladylike. Some of the people now, and especially with this feminist movement, are taking and that disrupt a family unit. That's disrupting what God has set in place. We will talk about it next week because I'm not going to be able to finish this in one part. But we'll talk about this with Miriam, who God had to turn leprous. But when the woman disobeys God, or even when the man disobeys God, it stops their prayers from being answered by God. Yes. Because they're not following the proper order God had given them to follow. That's why the judgment has been told. Zephaniah told that judgment was coming. This was a foregoing conclusion. See, this was during the times of Josiah. And you remember when Josiah found the book of the law and he went to the prophetess Huldah to find out what was going to happen. God said, it's too late. Judgment is passed on this. I'm not going to save the people. So just as it is today, it's too late for the United States. The nation has to go. Now, where they go right here at this election, because like they said, a lot of them talking about a revolution, not accepting what the election outcome is. But as I said, the nation has to fall from within. Mm-hmm. This system has to fall because it has become morally corrupt. Now, see, if you're ignorant of these things, and you're willingly ignorant because you should be given the study of God's Word and reading and watching and doing, because it says, watch. In this last days, he tells you to watch so you won't be ensnared or carried away with these things. So the woman is more or less given to the pleasures and things of this life. So what we have to do is the men have to be aware and vigilant for their homes and keep these things at bay. We have to be of a discerning spirit. That's why women seek to be married. They are monogamous. They want to be married so that they can seek security in you. The only way they can find security in you is that you didn't put yourself under subjection to Christ. If you're not under subjection to Christ, she's going to seek other authority. She's going to seek to be the authority. God's going to rise up because he's not going to allow those women to be taken off and destroyed by you because you're not honoring God. These men nowadays that are not being men, that are not standing up, as one of the conversations has been in political circuses, Mr. Luther would confirm this. Have you ever heard of men talking the way this guy, this presidential contestant was about women and saying these type things about women? Men don't talk that way, not true men. That's what Michelle Obama's speech was about. That a true man is to uphold the rights of a woman and to respect women. True men respect other men and other women. Once a man loses respect for himself, he loses respect for everyone else around him. The words men use now saying locker room talk and jesting, the Bible calls it foolish talk. Talking that shouldn't even be in your vocabulary, shouldn't even be in your life. But until we start standing up for that, now that's what meekness is. As I said, meekness is power under control, that you're not going to be pushed over in this area. Jesus wasn't pushed over when it come to the temple, when it came to God's temple. He said, well, look, I've cast them out of here first. We have to be able to rule the house of God. But now, if a man not ruling his own house, don't seek to be an elder or leader in the church. If you're not at charge at home, that disqualifies you from being a ruler in the church. That's a heavy position to be an elder in the church. You have to have that meekness that you don't seek and want to be prominent, but that you're lowly and meek, but that you can't be pushed over. See, that's when the men stand up. That's when a lot of these men stood up when he said these things or whatever. That's when the bus stops. A man has to be able to stop the bus when necessary. That's what a man does. He says this has to be for you. My son, one of my sons, is one of the meekest of all my children. And I've been having the pleasure to work for him the last few weeks since I went from this other job. But you know, on that job, he always addresses me as sir or dad or whatever. I think the complication has gotten to be the world. Sometimes we have to do what's politically correct, and we say it's done professional. I don't think, I watched Channel 2 News, and what has happened, Michael Shingleton is the anchor on Channel 2 News now. His father is Pat Shingleton, the weatherman. A lot of people say it wouldn't be professionalism or whatever. But when he get ready to go to the weather or whatever, he says, how's it looking, Pat? That's one thing wasn't allowed. It's never allowed. And a child couldn't do it no matter how old he gets. Your father is your dad or father or whatever you address him. But you never call your parent by his first name. In no setting am I on first name basis with my sons or my daughters. We have to keep that line. Notice that Jesus kept that line of respect with God. He says, my father. He addressed him as his father. You can't get on first name basis with your children. We have to keep authority in a line of respect. But if you have to command that, then something's wrong in your life. Because meekness is that you have that power and authority, but you don't have to force it. You understand what I'm saying there? Mm-hmm. That your children have to respect your authority. That's God had placed that as a commandment. Honor thy parents so that your days will be long. We're not honoring our parents. If we're not honoring our parents, that means we're not going to honor the elders or anyone else. This fellow that shot his fiance, his girlfriend's father the other day, probably don't respect his own father. We have to learn that we have to put ourselves in subjection to one another. What's going on in the nation, the way they talk about the president, years ago you wasn't allowed to talk about the president like that. You don't, are not allowed to speak evil of preachers and people like that. You don't speak, you treat the women as mothers or your sisters or whatever. But you don't use, see, without this submission. In other words, meekness is placing yourself under that authority and control of God, and it never leaves. It's just like charity. It never vanquishes. The gifts of prophecy and tongues was just for the young church. He says, when I was a child, I acted as a child and I thought as a child. As through this church, anyone ever heard me address Mr. Luther in any other way other than Mr. Luther? Because he's old enough to be my father. His son's probably my age or whatever. His daughters and things, probably my age or whatever. We have to respect that. If we disrespect, if I disrespect him and call him just, if I say Luther or this or that, I'd be a bad saying something like that. We have to learn. If I say anything to Sister Aaron, have I always called you, did I call you Sister Tina or Sister Tabor? Do I call you Sister? Do I say Deacon or Brother? We have to learn to respect one another. Address one another as sisters and brothers. We have to do these things. That only way we can do that is God put that in us. That's the way we do that. That's a meekness. That can be seen. That's an outward manifestation of meekness. It's that gentleness, kindness, humility. Okay, we will continue this next week. We will come to the end of this today. Heavenly Father.